All right, Alexander, let's get into this story with Kyle Rittenhouse. And let's just go into the first article that I have pulled up here. It's from Revolver News. And the title reads like this: Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong. All available evidence so far points to clear-cut case of self-defense. Now, Alexander, before you get into this case, I just want to say that even the New York Times has written an extensive article with an extensive timeline, which points in favor of Kyle Rittenhouse. So I think that's a clear sign that even though there's been, I think, six charges brought up against Rittenhouse, a lot of it, if not all of it, appears that it won't be able to stick, and that it seems to be an open and shut case. Attorney Lynn Wood of Covington Catholic fame is going to be helping Rittenhouse defend himself, and he's going to be putting together the legal team. So Rittenhouse is without a doubt in good hands, perhaps the most capable legal hands in the U.S. at this moment in time. So, Alexander, why don't you get into the legal defense of Rittenhouse and what's going on here and how you see things?
I think he has a strong defense on the basis that he used reasonable force to defend himself from three people who were extremely dangerous and who were trying to attack him. I think that is my view. I would add, by the way, that he's got, obviously, like every defendant, the presumption of innocence on his side, which we must never forget. People always seem to cast this aside. He was a young man. He was put in a very dangerous situation. He was armed. Many people in the United States are armed, and he had reasons to be armed because of what he does. And at the end of the day, he defended himself. Now, his actions may seem disproportionate in some countries, but this is a completely disproportionate situation in the United States. So I think he's got a very good defense team. I think he's got a strong case for self-defense. He may have committed certain other offenses, but murder, absolutely, I don't think so. I don't think there's any evidence that he went there with any intention to kill anybody. And I can't see how any of these charges which have been brought against him are going to hold together.
All right, Alexander, let me read you from a Facebook post. Once again, this is linked from Revolver News. It's a Facebook post from DY Outdoors, but it kind of highlights what's going on here and the charges brought up against Rittenhouse, as well as some of the context as to what transpired in Kenosha. Now, I'll abbreviate much of this text, but I'll also put the screenshots of this text as I read it to all our viewers. So DY Outdoors says, the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting is an extremely important case and could be considered the new shot heard around the world. It will set precedence on use of force in some of these riots. I have studied every video extensively, approximately 30 minutes of footage. Number one, Kyle had permission to be on private property to help clean it up and defend it. Number two, all three people he shot were actively trying to harm him. He shot no one else. Number three, Kyle was the first one to call 911 and tried to provide aid until people started screaming, get him, and chased him into the streets. Number four, the second guy he shot and killed was trying to melee him in the head with a skateboard. Number five, as Kyle is trying to get up from the previous attack, third guy points a Glock pistol at Kyle and hesitates, and so Kyle makes decision not to shoot him in a split second, but then the guy re-engages him, about to pull the trigger, and Kyle shoots him in the gun arm, disabling him. Number six, Kyle gets up and runs straight to the police trying to surrender, and you can hear him tell some of the police he had just shot someone. In confusion of all the chaos, the police do not make the arrest that night. Number seven, not that it matters as much, but all three people shot were felons, and one should not have been in possession of a firearm being a felon. Number eight, who chases after someone that is armed with an AR-15? Number nine, Cal has now the best attorneys in the country free of charge. Number 10, it's sad to me that it takes a 17-year-old patriot trying to do the right things, and he has to defend his life as a last resort. And the final point DY Outdoors makes, number 11, there will be more of these types of situations arising. And if you are trespassing, trying to go through owner or people that have permission or instruction to defend, and you try to destroy someone's livelihood or business and trying to harm them, there's a chance you will get shot. Now, I'm reading that just to clarify. I'm reading that from the DY Outdoors Facebook analysis of the situation, Alexander.
I think it is extremely important that he wanted, firstly, that he wanted to provide aid to the people who were hurt, and that he also wanted to surrender immediately to the police, which suggests, again, that this is not a person with any serious criminal intention. Last, of course, he was threatened by a man with a gun, and he had a gun himself. He, as I said, had a reason to have a gun because of what he was doing. I'm not sure whether that was responsible on, a responsible decision altogether. But, this is a criminal case. The fact is he was there with a role, which explains why he had a gun. And he was physically threatened by these people. That's why I say I think that this is a strong case of self-defense. I don't personally think, given that the other person was armed, by the way, that there's a case either for saying excessive force, that he used excessive force. Because, of course, he was threatened with a gun and he had a gun himself. And that was why the things happened which happened. So I think he's got a strong case. What I will also say, though, is that this looks to me like a very politicized prosecution in a very politicized environment. Many people, I'm interested to hear you say that the New York Times has a long piece which appears to accept that there is some, that there is some legal defense on his side, because I am absolutely sure there will be many, many other people who will not accept that. And I predict, as night follows day, that this will become another part of the mythology of these protests, riots that some people are seeking to create. I'm also going to add a point which has been made by others, including, I believe, by Tucker Carlson, and for which he got incredibly criticized, which is that if you allow violence and armed people and rioters and sit back and allow public order to disintegrate in the way that it has, violent incidents like this will happen and people will defend themselves. That is in the nature of things. That is one of the reasons we are supposed to have police and courts and judicial systems and prisons and criminal justice systems and all those things, is to prevent things like this from happening. The fact is that in place after city and town after town across the United States, those forces which are supposed to protect property and people have withdrawn. They have abdicated their responsibilities, so that a 17-year-old man found himself in a situation where he was violently threatened and had to make the decisions that he did. So, ultimately, if you want to put your blame for what is happening, I think it is quite clear where it belongs. It belongs with the authorities, so-called authorities, who not only have abdicated all responsibility in this situation, but who are actively promoting the disorder, the wave of crime and disorder that is now engulfing so many parts of the United States. Now, as I said, I know there's been criticism of various people who've made that point. It seems to me unarguable. So I think he's got a defense. I think he's got a strong defense. If you feel that this was, this violence was somehow wrong, well, first of all, consider the situation this young man was in, threatened with violence in a very violent situation, and ask yourself who ultimately is responsible for allowing this to happen.
All right, Alexander, let's wrap it up on two points here that I think the mainstream media, the fake news mainstream media is pursuing, as they have now kind of moved all the wheels into motion to demonize Kyle. But I will point to the New York Times. But first, let me point to the fact that much of the demonization of Kyle begins with the fact that the claim, let's start with the claim, that he was bringing a gun, a firearm, across state lines, and he shouldn't have had that firearm. And I think Lynn Wood debunks that claim and then leads us to the second thing that they're trying to hit Kyle with, which is the first of a man that was supposedly unarmed that was shot in the head. And the New York Times actually helps us debunk that claim. So let me start with the first one, then move over to the exact quote of the New York Times, and then you can wrap up the video. So there's a tweet here which says, from Zigtastic, which says, "So the first guy who was shot in the face was actually a result of Kyle shooting into the crowd. Afterwards, he was still carrying an illegal gun in a different state. That self-defense doesn't come into play since it was illegal to begin with." Now, Lynn Wood responds, and here's what Lynn Wood says in a tweet. "When you start manufacturing facts to support false accusations, you get into trouble under the law of defamation. Kyle did not carry a gun across state lines. The gun belonged to his friend, a Wisconsin resident. The gun never left the state of Wisconsin. Truth always prevails." Now we go to the New York Times, which puts some focus on this person that got shot in the head, the first person that was killed, the unarmed man, who was also a felon. But this is what the New York Times said. This is straight from the New York Times analysis of the situation, entitled "First Shooting. While Mr. Rittenhouse is being pursued by the group, an unknown gunman fires into the air, though it's unclear why." Note what the New York Times said. "While Mr. Rittenhouse is being pursued by the group, the weapon's muzzle flash appears in footage filmed at the scene. Mr. Rittenhouse turns toward the sound of gunfire as another pursuer lunges toward him from the same direction. Mr. Rittenhouse then fires 4 times and appears to shoot the man in the head." Now, this is from Revolver News. This is what they say directly after this quote from the New York Times. "Only a truly clownish world can a man who is being chased by an armed mob not fire a gun in self-defense after exhausting his duty to retreat. Revolver News completely agrees with the New York Times analysis of the first shooting. All 3 victims, in addition to being affiliated with the notorious BLM and Antifa gangs, have criminal records." So, Alexander, what do you make of these two points?
Well, I'm not an expert on U.S. Gun laws, but I mean, I would have thought that the point about it being a weapon that was, you know, within Wisconsin is an irrefutable one. I mean, I don't see that there's any argument around that. By the way, I'm not entirely sure what the legal implications of this whole business about where the weapon came from mean. I mean, I suppose you could say that he shouldn't have been there, but this is a situation, as I said, where order and law and order were breaking down. And the second point, the second account, the first incident, don't call it a murder, call it a killing, because I don't personally think that it was a murder. I think it was a killing, perhaps done, in my opinion, in self-defense. Okay. Now, the fact is, he's being pursued. There's guns being fired. There's massive, there's violence all around him. There's property damage going on. I can't see how, given the fact that he had a gun, the origins of that gun would necessarily alter the fact that this was a self-defense situation. I accept that may be wrong and there may be issues about this which I'm not familiar with, but in any event, the point is the gun came from Wisconsin. It was not brought across the state border. So that seems to me irrefutable. But the second thing is, again, This is a self-defense scenario. I can't see how anyone could argue otherwise. Shots are being fired. Maybe, you know, we say fired into the air. Well, what does that even mean? I mean, was the gun actually being fired in the air, or was it being fired at him? Why wouldn't he think it was being fired at him, given that he was being chased? People who are being chased and, you know, sense that they're being fired at, and he turns around and he shoots, and he seems to be shooting into the crowd, and somebody gets hit. But the person who got hit was definitely trying to attack him. And I would be very interested to know, by the way, I'd be extremely interested to know. I mean, I don't know all the details. I haven't seen this footage in the same level of detail. I do wonder how many other guns were there and who was carrying them. You know, we know one gun, obviously, which is this Glock, which was pointed at him. You know, is this gun that we, you know, we hear, you know, that people heard, and was that the same gun? Or was it, as seems to be, perhaps more likely a different gun? Are we looking at a man facing what looks like an armed mob?
You mean multiple guns?
Multiple guns, yeah. Exactly, coming at him. And of course, on top of all of that, there is his perceptions of what the situation was and what his legitimate perceptions of the situation was. As I said, he was attacked, he was threatened, he was being chased, guns were being fired, he was being threatened by somebody with a gun. That was obviously later. It seems to me this is a very clear self-defense case. Now, that's how it seems to me. I have to make, again, express my concern. We've had all these political prosecutions in the United States. I can't be certain that we won't get a political trial also. But to me, it looks like self-defense. Interesting that it seems even the New York Times somebody in the New York Times may think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my opinion on this is I think that the prosecutor, the charges laid against Kyle, I think they had to do something. So I think they just kind of threw all kinds of charges at him. I think they know that none of it is going to really stick. I mean, that's what it looks like. I mean, it really looks like when you go through the entire scenario and all the charges and everything being leveled at Kyle, it looks like none of it is going to hold any water. It's not going to hold up. But I think they had to do something quickly, because I think they know, and this is just an assumption and just my opinion, I think they know that in a couple of weeks' time, maybe even more, a couple of months' time, this is not going to garner the media attention that something like Floyd or who is it, Blake, is going to hold, because at the end of the day, this was a white on white.
Yes.
Shooting scenario. And yes. So I think this is not going to garner that type of media attention in a month or two's time, and it's just going to dissipate. So I think they may be aware of that, and that's why they did something now. They threw the entire book at him, but they know that Lynn Wood and his team are going to completely demolish these charges. And,
yes,
you know, no one's going to report on this after a month or two.
I think you're right. I think that probably is the calculation. I think that they threw the book at him in the confident expectation that when all the attention dies down, they can, you know, row back, perhaps even drop some of these charges. But if that is true, what a terrible comment that is about the state of the United States, that somebody's been charged with crimes which even the prosecutor doesn't believe in, because the political situation in the United States is that way. I mean, you know, that happens in many countries, by the way, around the world. But, you know, that it should be happening in the United States of America, that will surprise and concern some people. Anyway, I think you're probably right. I hope you're right. I would say, again, based on everything I've seen and read and heard, this looks like a very strong case of self-defense to me.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button, that red subscribe button. You will be notified every time we push out a new video or do a live stream. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this channel a whole lot. And also go to the Durant shop and pick up some merchandise, pick up some shirts, polos, magic hats, which are really cool. And of course, our famous magic mugs.
Magic mugs. We got these amazing magic mugs with this one with the flag of the United States. And we've also got other ones, which are the enameled ones now, which you can take with you on walking holidays through the mountains, as I've just done. They're amazing magic mugs. And as Alex rightly says, that's Italy, is it? I think so. No, I can't see very well, but...
Ireland.
Yeah, it's the tricolour, it's the Irish tricolour. Find all these amazing magic mugs, and you'll find all kinds of amazing shirts too. Alex is supplementing the shirts. We're getting embroidered shirts also coming along. And we've got trucker's hats and baseball hats and embroidered hats and amazing new e-books. You'll find them all in our shop, and you'll support the Durant by buying them if you come to our shop. So please do, and Alex will remind you how to do it.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.